Amen. Lord, we just thank you for allowing us to be able to get together tonight and fellowship. Father God, we ask for your Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us into whatever it is that you'd have us to speak about. And Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that teaches us out of your word. And we praise you, Father, for all the revelations that you've given us over the years. And Father, we just praise you and thank you for the days ahead that you've given us bold faith to believe in the things that we need and to endure in our faith to believe that it's happening. And we thank you for that, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that it's going to be really telling who has faith in the days to come. And Lord, I thank you for your prophetic words through your people that warn us about the things to come. And we praise you for that, Father. And we thank you, Lord, for the warnings from the attacks of the enemy through your prophetic people. And we praise you and we thank you that, Lord, when we hear these words, we go to war. And we don't back up. We go forward with the sword. And we start whacking heads off with the word of God. And we thank you, Father, that you've given us these tools to walk this life that you've got us in. Lord, it's sometimes a little bit nerve-wracking, but for the most part, Lord, it's very fulfilling in our lives to understand that we can trust you to fulfill your word to us in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that tonight's fellowship is going to be an awesome one. We thank you, Lord, for your open heaven that you have provided for us, that when we pray, we know that our prayers will be answered. And I thank you for all my wonderful brothers and sisters that come in and we all get together and talk and discuss the word and do the things that you want us to do, Father. And I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for the cross that your son went through to give these promises to us and to make a way for us to have an access to you, Father. And we praise you for that. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. I thank you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you that those tonight that are needing healing, the healings are there. And those that are needing provisions, the provisions are there. And those that are needing protection, that protection is already around them. And those that are needing that circumstances worked out, that they're already worked out. And we praise you, Father, for all that you're doing in each and every one of us. And I thank you, Lord, for being with us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I want to read this before we get started. Y'all can hear me okay, can't you? Okay, good. And I've read this before, but I want to read it again because it is such a right-on word. It's called, "My Chosen Ones Seek Me Now." My chosen ones, with pure vessels. The time has now come. The storm is now upon you. Know that what my hand brings and the enemy brings shall be made clear to you as a rainbow in the midst of the storm. And your firm hope as the rainbow after the storm. It's time to now shut your doors. That's the influence of the world. And close your windows. That's the influence of friends and family. And seek me. I say, take heed to this warning. All of you are going through storms now. Yet now, you must take time alone with me. Hours of time. I desire to give each of you personal instructions. General instructions are now a thing of the past. I must instruct you now for each of your lives and those lives which are and will be affected by your testimony of me. You must quiet yourselves now and spend time with me for this purpose. I will be giving much wisdom, direction, guidance, and prayers for you to pray for you and your direct loved ones and friends. I am knows all things. Do not think it strange how I ask you to pray for them. Simply seek confirmation of me and then obey and pray. Lives depend upon your wants now, your words now, I'm sorry. Lives depend upon your words now, my children. All hell is going to break loose so very soon. Ah, and all heaven shall have no restrictions to bless my children and all those that desire to be saved. Miracles upon miracles you shall witness. Then you shall be with me. Do this now. Pray. Do not wait. Your all-encompassing, miracle-working God, the Father of life, the great I Am, has spoken. And I believe that is a right on for today word that we all need to be, and that's something we've all been stressing here lately, is just get in there and get right with the Lord and listen to His voice every day. He said, lay everything aside and spend hours. He said, spend hours with me. And that's something that we all need to do. Thank you, Lord. You're going to give us all that wherewithal to go ahead and do it and not to allow anything to stand in our way of seeking you and understanding your word to us, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? Here, I want to pray for Teresa. In the name of Jesus right now, we confess and we declare and decree that she's going to be in her cabin, newly built, before the winter is out, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that the provisions from the sale of her place has already been structured by you, Lord, to take place very soon. And I praise you and I glorify you, Father, that they're going to start on that cabin very, very soon in Jesus' name. Or finishing that cabin. They've already started on it. Thank you, Lord. We praise you and we glorify you, Father, that it is done. And she's going to be so comfortable in there. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anybody else got a prayer? Anybody else got a prayer? There's Angelica's head. I saw it. Hey, Angelica. Yeah. Saw it again. Oh, me. She's flashing us with the top of her head. Has anybody got a prayer request? All right, Joe, go ahead.
Sorry, Michael, I don't have a prayer request, but I have a praise report of what I put in the chat, as well as Maria has been at home now. So about a week after she was having it. Yeah, so praise the Lord.
Praise God.
That's very good news. That Lord's been working. It's amazing. Sorry, just another one. The post office, where I used to print my UVM stuff, I prayed for a lady there who was burnt at her feet and her ankles. Oh, I think it's like maybe a couple, month and a half back. I was there this week and she was healed. So we just
praise God.
Praise the Lord for that as well. As it's just that the marks, little part of marks is still there, but we prayed for that. We believe it's going to be clean. No marks left. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right.
All glory to God. Yeah.
Yes, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for placing it in Joe that every time he sees a need that he's going to pray and you're going to answer in Jesus' name. And I thank you for doing that for all of us. He's given us that bold faith to believe, Lord, when we pray, glory to God, it's going to be answered. just like today, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Father. All right, anybody else got a prayer request? I'm going to pray again then, because I've got some things to pray about in the name of Jesus right now. I thank you, Lord, for placing it in people's hearts, not only in this local, this fellowship here, but in those that listen, that they would get out and start praying against the witchcraft and witchcraft curses that are spoken during this time of the month, during this whole month, and from now to the end of the year. And we praise you, Father, for doing that. And I thank you, Lord, that witchcraft curses and witchcraft strongholds will be split and sent to the four corners of the earth. And I thank you for it, Father. And actually just taking off the earth and putting back down there where they belong in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, for tearing down every altar that we come across. And we pray as we pray in Jesus' name. And those things are everywhere. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Anybody got a prayer? Boy, it must have been a good day for everybody. Glory to God. Yeah, Missy.
I like to pray that my neighbor actually watches these two videos. It's the video of the woman whose son died and her grandparent and his grandparents, and then the continuation of that. I sent both those videos to her. I just felt impressed of the Lord to send them to her. She's Serbian Orthodox, her and her husband. And Father, I just thank you for anointing those videos and touching her deeply in her heart, Lord, and that she would just see your love and your mercy and your grace, and that she sees you operating in a way that in these videos that she's never seen before, Lord, and know that there's much that she's been missing, and that she go to your word and search out your word, Lord, and know the truth for herself, Lord, know the true gospel, Lord. And I just praise you and thank you for repentance and belief in you, Lord, and delivering her from that other Jesus and another gospel and a different spirit, Lord, her and her husband both, and bringing them both into your kingdom in a mighty way. In Jesus' name, amen. May you have peace. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. I'd kind of like to add on to that about my family. Lord, I thank you that these things that I send my family, that you make it known to them that the word of God is the final say, not man. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to place it in their heart to search out the scriptures for themselves and quit allowing man to tell them what's right and what's wrong. And I praise you, Father, that they're going to go straight to the word and find out that the things that they've been listening to on TV or wherever, in the church or whatever, has been wrong all their lives. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, for straightening them out in Jesus' name. And I'll pray that for all of our families, that they would search out the scriptures, because the scriptures are our standard for which we live by, Lord. And we don't have to ask one another, well, is what he's saying, is that right? Well, why don't you check the standard? And the standard, of course, is the word of God. And I praise you, Father, for doing that for each and every one of our family members. In Jesus' name, we know a lot of them are in apostate religion. Lord, and I thank you that you're going to shake the doors, plumb off the hinges, when the time comes, and they're going to come running out of them, Lord, into the truth of the gospel. And I praise you, Father, for doing that. Glory be to God. And we're going to have household salvation at that time, and they're going to be calling you. Why didn't you tell us? I've been telling you for years. And I thank you, Father, for doing that. In Jesus' mighty name. Glory be to God. I thank you, Father, that they're coming out even as we speak. Go ahead, Missy.
um, I wanted to pray about this video that my mom sent me. Julie, that was good timing. I sent it to her. This video of this apostate leader talking about the 1,000 years of peace. Millennium. Yeah. And I didn't watch it. Julie said she did, so I don't know. Pretty screwed up, I bet, isn't it, Julie? I didn't even want to even go there. So, but anyway, Father, I just praise you and I thank you, Lord, that you will put it in my mom's heart to search out the scriptures for herself, Lord, and know the truth, and the truth will set her free, Lord. Just like Michael was saying, you know, to not, you know, what you were praying there, Michael, is just like there's this triangle between you, me, and Julie. You know, that was the things that I was praying today, you know, for my mom and a lot of my family too, Lord, that yes, they would search the scriptures for themselves and not be a respecter of persons and, just be, come out from among these dead churches, these apostate religions, trusting in what these big wigs tell them, because your word says, Lord, woe unto you when all men speak well of you, so they did of the false prophets. Lord, bring that revelation, Lord, to your people, Lord, and know that they're to be good Bereans and to search out the scriptures for themselves and to see if what is spoken to them was taught to them is the truth, because it's not going to be the part of them. It's not going to make it any effect in their life, and if it's not their own, they don't search the scriptures out for themselves and know it for themselves. And I just I praise you and I thank you, Lord, for bringing your elect out from among them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for doing that. Glory be to God. It'd be nice to think that there's going to be 1,000 years of peace tomorrow. You know, it ain't going to happen. It ain't in the Word. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. That's what these New Agers are saying, too. We're going to have 1,000 years of peace here next week, you know. I just deceived. Thank you, Missy. All right, anybody else? Anybody got a testimony? Ooh, I got one. Angelica's here. I'm glad she's here because she can help me. We all went out this afternoon. Four of us went out this afternoon and went over to the local high school and did a prayer walk around the whole perimeter of the high school, praying witchcraft curses off of it, praying all kinds of things. Everything that came to our mind, we prayed. We went up and we touched buildings. We prayed over the football field. We prayed over the parking lots. Everything that the Spirit of God would lead us to do, that's what we did. And I'm going to let Angelica tell us what happened at the end of the, basically toward the end of that. Angelica, are you there?
Yeah, maybe Debbie was probably better to tell what she felt and saw. Can you hear me?
She's not here. She's not here yet.
Oh, she's not. Okay.
You want someone to read what she posted?
Yeah, I you can read that.
No, I hadn't seen it.
She put a blog up on it, but in brief, you know, it was really the blessing of the Lord because this school's out for the week, which we didn't know anything about there being a fall, you know, out for like a fall break or something for
the
week.
Well, I wonder why they didn't do that when I was going to school, for goodness sake. I didn't get no fall break or no spring break.
I know. So it was just the Lord's perfect timing because no one was there. I mean, there were a few staff members, I think probably. But it was basically to ourselves. And we just got together and just, you know, like Michael said, walked the perimeter, prayed, commanded and, you know, put our hands out towards the stadium and just, you know, coming against all the things that, you know, high schoolers would have to obviously go through, and teachers and parents and students and things like that. And, we walked around to the front. We started in the back, walked around to the front. And as we got to the front, you know, we were laying hands on, you know, on the doors and the entrances and the flagpole. And we just began to pray in the spirit and, just, you know, start, commanding and speaking and all that stuff. And, Debbie, after we were done, you know, Debbie and Chuck, I felt like a shift, you know, like in the spirit, like something happened. I just didn't feel very much, but that's the gist of what I felt. But Debbie and Chuck had a confirming, that, there, Debbie saw that this big chain around the school building and it just broke and it fell off. And Chuck also had the sensation the same confirmation of in the spirit that the chains were broken. So it was just an awesome thing.
Amen. Then as we were walking around to the back to where our cars were parked, our vehicles were parked, we decided to just stop and pray for the whole school that the spirit of oppression and depression would leave it. And I said, we all just imagined in our mind that there was a blanket over it. And then as we were praying, you know, we could all feel or see in our mind that veil, that depression or that oppression would leave. And we saw, and I felt it. I just felt it leave. I know they got some freedom from that. And I think Angelica and Chuck and Debbie, all of us felt that there was a great release over that school. That's why it's imperative that we do these things around. We prayed for rebellion to leave. We prayed for anger to leave. We prayed for perversion to leave. We prayed for the teachers. We prayed for the students. We prayed for anything that the Holy Spirit came to our minds to pray about, and especially for this Halloween spirit that's pervasive right now in all of our communities. This is their time to shine, as they used to say. But we're not going to allow them to shine. This is God's world, not theirs. And that's basically what we did. We decided to take it upon ourselves and go out there and pray against it for those kids. That's the future of this community, you know. And amen. we're not going to stop there.
Amen. I really feel that. And again, it's not always just based on feeling. You know, we may not feel a confirmation anything, but we just know that the word of God will not return void. But that the Lord is having us lay a foundation for revival.
Amen.
I just feel that that's what the Lord is doing here. And of course, his heart is for the children. And, you know, I've had a burden for the youth and for the children, how Satan has just destroyed them. And they really just, you know, have not grown up really with any, morality or, even sense of Christ or anything. There's just so much confusion and so many things being taught to these few generations here. So, the Lord's fixing to do something amazing, and
amen.
It's just going to be awesome to see it.
Yeah, I'm looking for the miracles, just like I was reading in that prophetic word there. I just got through saying miracles upon miracles are fixing to happen, and that's going to break the power of this religious spirit that's throughout the South with these certain churches, certain denominations. And Father, I thank you that the Holy Spirit will be loosed throughout this whole South in Jesus' name. That the doors would fly off the hinges of these apostate churches where they deny the existence of the Holy Spirit in their fellowship. And Father, I thank you that it's going to be real evident in the days to come. Those that are yours. And I praise you and I thank you for it, Father. Glory be to God.
Amen. Hey, Julie, were you going to read that?
I sure can, although you pretty much covered what she wrote, but I'll read it.
Yeah, I think she included some things I didn't
read. Oh, you're talking about Debbie's? Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Okay. So Michael, Chuck, and Angelica and Debbie, they did a prayer walk at the high school. They walked all around the grounds, around the whole building. It was awesome time in the Lord. So much was bound and broken. Thank you, Lord. So she wrote, towards the end of our walking and praying all around the grounds in the school building, we made it to the flagpole and laid our hands on that and prayed there, and then walked to entrance doors near that and laid our hands on them and did more praying and binding and loosing. And as we were walking away in the spirit, I had a very strong sensing of chains breaking and falling. I shared that, and then Chuck confirmed that, telling us that he also felt the same thing very strongly. So then we walked to the last entrance of our walk and prayed there. And as we were doing the same thing there, using our authority and binding and loosing, the Lord showed me what represented the school or possibly other schools God wants us to go to work on. But what I saw in the spirit was a big square brick school building. And I saw a very thick chain all around the building. I was looking at the thickness of the chain. And all of a sudden, I watched the chain break and fall off all around the building. And in the spirit, I could hear the rattling sound the chain was making as I watched it breaking and dropping to the ground. When we were through, we could all feel a real breakthrough and a real newness all around the place. The Lord is going to continue working there. And as Angelica said, the Lord is laying a groundwork for revival. Glory to you, God. Use all of us, Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Lord, yes, it was an awesome time. Awesome time. All right. Anybody got anything else? Got another testimony? All right. Who's got the praise and worship tonight? Julie.
I've got a song lineup. Would you give me an opportunity to share my screen?
What you going to sing?
I'm going to sing, but I'm going to have you muted as I sing.
All right, just a moment. Let me get you going here.
Pat has his hand up. Maybe he wants to share something here first before we do that.
All right, Pat, go ahead.
Yeah, while you're doing that, I just have a small one. And this happened really kind of as a result of Tuesday's meeting and getting that message and that word related to, you know, praying exactly what we were doing here, praying principalities down, et cetera. And the last couple days, I have been getting, I've been receiving or getting accusations. I won't elaborate on that, but I've been getting accusations from work. When I, you know, just kind of my normal tendencies, when I receive, you know, an accusation or something like that, an attack, I automatically take it personal and go inside and say, you know, Lord, what are you trying to show me on this? And get, you know, start down a path of depression or whatever it would be. You know, I realized, the Lord will use people at will to send, send a negative spirit or whatever you want to say, however you want it to, and allow these attacks to come through people, for purpose of doing something within us. And it's just so happened that, so yesterday, when I went into work, this is the night before I had received, you know, an attack of, you know, almost like an accusation that I was lying to this individual. And you know, obviously I didn't, but, so I just kind of remained quiet and took it. Today when I went in, the very first thing when I went in, I prayed around that building. I didn't walk the actual building, but I prayed around it, the four corners of the building, four corners of my property, the four corners of that building, and cast down the witchcraft I don't remember all of what I prayed basically. But when I went in this morning, this particular individual was absolutely there was no sense that anything was done. There was no sense that he had accused me or anything like that. You know, of course I forgave him and asked and prayed for him, you know, behind the scenes or whatever, but there was no sense of that today when I went in. So, I think the Lord is teaching us battle, you know, to do the battle here, to push back on this, you know, because the devil's always he's going to attack and he's going to try to, you know, cut your legs of faith out from under you and get you into depression and, you know, woe is me. What have I done? And, you know, and this whole procedure. And quite frankly, when I was really young in the Lord, or, you know, the Lord used that type of process to humble me and to, for me to, talk with him about these things that he would bring into my life. And it was very, enlightening, very building, you know, obviously with the Lord, there's no condemnation. And so we work through these things and confess our sin and keep moving, et cetera. But then I think there's a point in time when he uses the same tactics, but he wants us, I think, to grow up and put on the battle gear and learn how to do battle against these things. And obviously we don't war against flesh and blood. We war against the principalities, the powers, and spiritual wickedness in high places in all of this environment, including our environment at work and everywhere. It hangs over this world and over this nation like a dark cloud, and we are just walking through it all the time. So, I just praise the Lord. I think he's, you know, I'm encouraged, even though I feel like sometimes I'm stumbling through this process, but he certainly is not stumbling, and he knows how to take us through. So I just thank the Lord for his patience and his guidance and the direction that he's given us. And thank you, Lord. That was all I wanted to say. Thanks.
Amen. Okay, who's next? Yeah, Angelica, go ahead.
I just wanted to pray about that, if that's okay.
Okay, yes.
Father God, in Jesus' name, I just thank you so much, Father God, for Pat and every single one of us, Father God. And Lord, we just humble ourselves before you, Father God. We're just nothing without you, Lord. But greater is he that lives in us than he that is in the world, Lord. And so, Lord, we just ask you, Father God, to put in us the boldness and the confidence, Father God, against our spiritual opposition, Father God. We ask for a gift of discernment, Father God, and discerning of spirits, Father God, to know how to respond, Father God, in every circumstance through the wisdom of your Holy Spirit, Father God. And Lord, we just bind all spirits, Father God, that would be antagonistic, Father God, against what we have purposed to do in our hearts, Father God. We bind all fear of man or any kind of fear, worry, doubt, or unbelief, Father God, double-mindedness, Father God, we cast that down in Jesus' name. And even the enemy knows, Father God, he hears what we plan to do, what we intend to do, Lord. And so we just bind all retaliation, Father God, or people, Father God, witches, whatever, Father God, that are working with these demon spirits, Father God, to send things, Father God, that would cause us to stumble. We cast that down in the name of Jesus, Father God. And we just thank you, Father God, for great wisdom, dreams, and visions of how to approach every circumstance, Lord. And that just to even walk by faith, Father God, that what we pray, Father God, you told David, do all that's in your heart, Lord God, because what's in our heart is of Christ, Lord God. We have the things in our heart that are written there already, Lord. And we can just speak that in faith and boldness, knowing that that's God's will. And we can just, step out in that faith, Lord God. So I ask you for the great, grace to do that, Father God, and for peace as we go about, Father God. And we thank you, Father God, that, we take dominion over our work areas, Father God, over every area that we are. If we're working from home, if we're working from a building, if we're working wherever, Father God, it's ours too, Father God, because we have dominion in the spirit, Father God, not in the flesh, but in the spirit, Father God, and everything begins in the spirit, Father God. So we bind, Father God, every force of darkness, Father God, that would hinder us, Father God, that would attempt to change our minds, Father God, from doing what you have purposed us to do, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Yeah. Bind the spirit of intimidation. You go in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
We bind that spirit that wants to fight in the flesh too. In Jesus' name, we cast it down. We're gonna fight this enemy in the spirit. We praise you for it, Father. Glory be to God. Just like Angelica said, we praise you, Lord, for doing that in each and every one of us, because we're gonna need that in the days ahead. Praise God. Woohoo! Glory be to God. I believe we got it. That battle is won. Praise the Lord. All right. Y'all ready for some good music? All right. I hope this is one that'll get you out your seat. Dancing before. No, it ain't one of them. Okay. Sit here and endure. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it to sound like that.
I can't mute you, so.
Okay, good.
I'm gonna play the music though.
days are new. My soul thirsts for you.
Amen. Well, that was a very appropriate song. That's a good, I don't know if I've heard that one. I like that song. Maybe I have, but I don't remember. That's a good song. Thank you for singing that, Julie. Okay. I want to read this, Progressive Intimacies, Prophetic Preparations for Perilous Times for you. And those of you that have these things, it's the one from January the 20th, 2004. My son, you are the apple of my eye. I am the treasure that you seek. Those who find me will find the wealth, the riches, and the wisdom that the world cannot even begin to understand nor fathom. For the wealth of my kingdom can only be understood out of that new nature. It can only be revealed through my spirit out of intimacy with me. There he goes again. Relationship and intimacy with me is the greatest treasure that man could ever find. If he would only search out me, if only he would search out wisdom, he would find that it is greater and of more value than rubies, diamonds, gold, silver, or any other earthen treasure that could ever be found. I am a priceless treasure to be sought, and you, my child, are a priceless jewel that I have created for fellowship with me, Selah. It is out of the very essence of my heart that I create all my precious jewels. I create them to be fashioned and formed into the very beauty that I am. And as my beauty radiates in them and through them, their love for me, their worship, creates a place in my heart that is very great. It is a place that moves me to do things that I do not normally do. It is a place that moves my heart, which in turn releases things in my heavenly realm that cause change. Those that desire this fellowship with me will find that change taking place in their lives as not only their circumstances and their surroundings change, but more importantly, they are changed to begin to look like me as they behold me as I truly am. I desire this change to take place in my children, excuse me, here and now. For when they arrive in my eternal kingdom, all that they will be doing is worshiping me. I desire this kind of worship to take place here and now on earth. I desire their very atmosphere and surroundings to be changed by my presence, glory to God, by my fragrance that my children carry upon them because of close fellowship and communion with me, Selah. So enter into that place, my children. Enter into that place of worship and of intimacy that your Holy Father desires for you to live in. That is the place of eternal change and transformation. That is the place of my heart. That is the place that I desired my children to live in for so very long. And I have now given them that standing so they can enter into the kind of fellowship with me that causes eternal change to take place in them and bring them into the place of rest where they can carry my glory to the nations to reap a harvest that the world has not seen. For in my presence, yes, in my glory, the sick will be healed, the lepers cleansed, the dead raised, the eyes of the blind opened, and the ears of the deaf shall hear again. Glory to God. In this kind of heavenly worship that I desire to release upon my children, shall the bonds of iniquity be broken as the captives are set free and the shackles and chains are loosed, bringing freedom to all those who hear this glorious sound of the fragrance of my heart. The sound of worship from my creation, from my children, who have been born again and set free from sin, shall resound upon the earth as angels join in, and the back of the enemy is broken as I return for my holy and pure bride that is preparing and has been prepared for my return, Selah. Prepare yourselves. Worship me in spirit and in truth out of that very nature that is my own. Be caught away in my glory and in my love. Be caught away in my heart. Be caught up in that heavenly worship that I desire from you, Selah. Glory be to God. Woo, Lord, help us get into that worship and praise of you, Father, to where we can just see you with us, Lord. And I thank you for doing that for each and every one of us, Lord, that our worship would be that, like you showed Buddy and I that time, Lord, that when we were out there and praising you and blowing the shofars and all that, and then that heavenly fragrance came up over that cliff, Lord, and the power of God was all over us at that time. Father, I thank you that we're going to experience these type of things forever in the days to come, and I praise you for it, Father. Glory be to God, that the Shekinah glory would come down upon us, Lord, as we praise and worship you in our daily prayers, in our daily worship with you, Lord, in our daily talks with you. And Lord, let it be that we all would deny everything of the flesh and just sit and bask in you, Lord. And I thank you for placing it in our hearts to find that time to do it, Father. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. Glory be to God. Woo. Yeah, Pat.
Yeah, I just wanted to add to that, Father, thank you. And Lord, would you just give us wisdom and grace that you're teaching us to push back against this darkness now and to push back against the that darkness that would prevent us or hinder us or delay us from entering into this worship, whether it be internal or whether it be external, or spirits that are attacking, or insecurity within, or whatever it would be, Lord, would you give us the wisdom to see, the eyes to see, and the ears to hear your word, and apply your word, and apply your the truth of your the power of your Holy Spirit to grant us grace, and to receive that grace to push back against that very darkness that prevents or hinders our worship in the way you want us to worship you. And so I thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for your grace, and thank you for your clarity of seeing, and a sensitivity and boldness to step out, boldness to push back the darkness, boldness to enter in and take our place, experience our place of rest in you, in your truth, in your love for us. And I thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Okay. Anyone else? Well, all right. I remember I told you this past Tuesday, that we would talk about what Joe wanted us to clarify for him, and that is the difference between resist not him that is evil and resist the devil. And he said something about David talked about it on Sunday, and he wants an example of resist the devil. We do it every day, don't we? So I'm going to let y'all do this. Somebody give me an example of resisting the devil. Yeah, Pat.
Well, are you being a personal example of what has happened, or is something out of the scripture?
Well, you can give you a personal example if you want to.
So, I'm going to say the very foundations of, when I came to the Lord and he led me into a church. And at that very time, I realized that there were things that were being taught, or things that were believed by the group that I was in, that I knew were not correct. And many, many things that I listened to, I didn't know, because I was, very young in the Lord. But there were certain things that were spoken that I had to resist. I had to accept the person that was speaking them, knowing, understanding that they did not know, they did not understand, or they didn't understand the scripture or whatever, and I had to accept that person, but reject in my heart, in my mind, reject what they were saying based upon the scripture, based upon what the Lord has shown me in the word, which is very clearly written in the word in those days. So in a sense, you're resisting the evil, but not resisting the person the carrier, I guess you might say. And obviously scripturally, you know, the turn the other cheek scenario, you know, if we are attacked or we are spoken evil against or something, you know, Jesus, you know, clearly gave us the example, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they are doing. So there's the resistance of the evil, but not the individuals, not the, you know, the person or the carrier of that. So I guess that was just kind of what I'm thinking there.
Okay. All right. Your audio has got some, like it's over-modulating. So you might need to turn it down a little bit.
You're talking about mine, I'm assuming, right?
Yes. You were the last one to talk. That's who I was. It sounded like you were over-modulating a little bit, Pat.
Yeah, I don't know how I would deal with that.
Go into microphone settings and turn it down just a little. That's all you got to do.
Okay. It's off.
No, it's not. I heard you. Okay, let's see. Go ahead.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Well, lots of times when I hear, you know, resist the devil, you know, the Lord reminds me the most important thing about resisting the devil is what it says right before that. Submit to God and resist the devil. You can't resist the devil. The Lord showed me that, you know, I can't resist the devil if I'm not submitting to God. So if you're not, if I'm not right with the Lord in some shape or fashion, or recognizing him in the situation, submitting to him first, I can't resist the devil, you know.
So you have to be right with the Lord in order to resist the devil, right? Amen.
Lord showed me.
Thank you, Lord. Okay, okay, Julie.
When you resist Satan, when you resist the devil, he comes and attacks your mind a lot. I think that's a lot of what he does, you know, with our emotions, that thought, and then it's an emotion, then it's an action, as David teaches, that's where sin comes in. And like Missy just quoted, you know, be subject therefore unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Well, we 1 Peter 5:8-9 says, be sober, be watchful, your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He has to have permission from us, as David's taught. And we give him permission by getting in our flesh somehow and acting out what we're thinking or feeling.
Amen.
That would be an example. And I guess, you know, we all have to pass the love test, you know, and love God, you know, obey Jesus and his commandments, you know, love, and don't accept those fiery darts of the enemy putting, you know, critical thoughts or unforgiving thoughts or some weapon he would use against you in your mind, against somebody else, or even against your own self, you know. If you resist those thoughts, you're resisting the devil and you're resisting your flesh. That's what was coming to me about resisting the devil. It's in our mind. We're attacking our mind with things. And, you know, is it true? Well, God says I'm healed. You know, am I going to believe what I feel? And we're supposed to see Jesus in the mirror, and we're supposed to see Jesus in everybody else. And so you just, you know, resist the devil, you know, don't give him place. In 1 Peter 5:9, who must stand steadfast in your faith, knowing that the same suffering are accomplished in your brethren who are in the world. So it means we're all going through it. We're all learning to resist him.
Amen.
That's what I got.
Amen. Thank you, Judy. Go ahead, Andrew.
Well, I'm going to give you an example from when I was going to work. There was a day where this guy that nobody likes at our workplace, he came up to me and he started railing on me really kind of badly, you know, trying to get your boat started. And actually the foreman saw it all. And after he had his piece to say about me, I didn't complain about it. I didn't defend myself or anything. The foreman came up to me and he says, "I'll back you, because I heard everything he said, because he didn't like him either. And these two guys used to be best friends. Something happened when they both went to go work in the office with him." And I said, "Oh no, that's okay, you know, because I was saying, I want to see what God will do." And you know, I said a little prayer, you know, "Lord, maybe you could show him how I feel, you know, right now, what he did to me, you know." And of course he came out a couple of weeks later and did the same thing, but this is to a different employee, and they had a huge altercation there. And it ended up that she wrote a letter. She knew her daughter was a lawyer's secretary, and they know how to write letters really good. And and she put one to the union, one to HR, and one to the boss, you know. And it came the day where everyone was called into the boss's office, and he had a little boardroom or table. And I was walking over, and then the lady who just had the altercation came over to me and said, "Andrew, I'm too afraid. I want you to speak for me." And and here I'm going in, and actually it just came to me now that maybe I was being set up here, you know, because they were all a bunch of lynch mob for this guy anyway. So I prayed a quick prayer to God, and then I walked into the office, and the Lord reminded me of a Christmas party that they had where my little Megan was hitting the piñata, and his little boy was there in the background in the picture. And so I brought that up. I said he was the first to greet me when I started working here so many years ago, right? And usually you try to want your nerves want to be lessened because you're coming into the new workplace, the new guy's coming, you know. And he said hi. He was very cordial. This is when he wasn't in the office though. And I told him the nice things that he did, like this. And I said, you know, you work with a person for 20 years, you know, and you know, you get to know what they're like. And you know, you get to even know some personal things and how they behave and stuff. And we just want this person to be better, not to address us so violently. And that's all I said. And of course the foreman said, "Andrew, you're just too nice." And I didn't say glory to God or anything like that because they wouldn't understand. But that's the remembrance of all of this, because I'm sure if I would have agreed with everyone, it would have came back on me. So I didn't even perhaps know what I was doing, because I didn't have the knowledge to know what I was doing. The Lord just acted it all out on me and did it properly, like the Lord does when you're just kind of new in the Lord. And it was amazing, you know. And so it had ended up that I'm sure someone told him, because he had his spies, about how nice I talked about him. And he was nicer to me after that. And he didn't end up getting fired or anything. He just had a strict talking to, and maybe with a little reprimand and slap on the head. He never confided in anyone about what happened to him. But he was better behaved after that. So the Lord did this. He did it all so that I wouldn't get in trouble. I wouldn't be in on part of being the lynch mob for this guy. So praise God.
Praise the Lord. Go ahead, Julie. Thank you, Andrew.
I have another testimony. When I was at work, there was a few things. There was a lot of things God used at work. But looking back, I was seeing how scripture was being fulfilled in my life and how faction was working and gossip and slander and, you know, and division and all that kind of stuff was happening in my office. And I didn't even know what it was at the time. I just knew it was wrong. And but God gave me a lot of grace not to defend myself in it. There was a guy who's that used to work there. He started out as a temp, working for a temp agency, so he was there. Then he ended up getting, they made him an offer to be employed there as a regular employee, and he accepted and stuff. And then things really started turning. Well, he found out a relationship I knew of somebody that he put the connection with me. This other person who he had met apparently recently, and because of that, and they had an altercation, he immediately took offense and didn't like me. And I didn't know until a couple of days later I found out that something had happened between them. I'm like, oh no, that's why he's behaving that way. Well, anyhow, he went to my supervisor, and before I got to work this particular morning, and apparently, I don't know what he said, but he made me out to be somebody really bad and I wasn't doing my job and blah, blah, blah. And I don't know what he said, but I just like, oh, okay. Good morning. You know, and she told me, she's like, you go in there and you work it out with him and blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay. So I just swallowed my pride and, you know, I went and talked to him and I just said, you know, I don't know what's going on, but whatever, we need to work this out. We have to work together. And, you know, I didn't have a problem with him. I, you know, he was very smart, very talented and all that. And, so I did do that. I didn't defend myself. But it was really uncomfortable, but I made the step towards him and, you know, apologized for whatever he thought, you know, just to make amends. And then long story short with him, he ended up, not really fitting in very well because he was a gossip. He was a drama queen. He was causing problems. He was trying to control and manipulate things. Well, anyhow, he ended up leaving the company. And I don't know if he was asked to leave or he quit. But it wasn't long after that that my supervisor came up to me. And she told me, she goes, he really brought a division between you and me, didn't he? And I said, yeah, I think he did. Because we were friends. You know, she was kind of a neighbor and we were, you know, we were about the same age. We had a lot of things in common and we were kind of friends, but you know, she's still my supervisor and work and that kind of thing. But just as she said that, you know, and recognized that he brought division between she and I, and that's in the Bible, you know, a whisper divides close friends or something separates close friends. And wow, that was so true, you know, gossip and slander and all that. So I saw later in hindsight when I understood what faction was all about and what this person was doing and all that. Wow, you gave me a real hands-on, you know, example of what I was going through, and I just didn't know what it was in the body. So that was one example there. And several years later, I was being persecuted because I am a Christian and that kind of thing. And I didn't defend myself, but I just, you know, kind of stood for what I believed. And I didn't, you know, defend myself and all that kind of thing. But there's people, you know, turning other people against me and even singling me out and excluding me from things that I was supposed to be involved in. They didn't tell me about it. And the Lord, you know, would tell me about things. It's like, you need to do this. And then blah, 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 blah. This is going to happen, but they didn't tell me. It was just, you know, it was very uncomfortable. But again, I didn't defend myself. I didn't go complain and whine. To my supervisor or to my, you know, management or anything right about, I just let the Lord deal with it. And, you know, it wasn't that I was doing anything wrong, but the scriptures that the Lord really helped me with that about suffering is, in 2 Peter. And I just want to read this. 1 Peter 2:13. Be subject to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to be the king as supreme or unto governors as sent by him by vengeance on evildoers and praise for them that do well. For so is the will of God, that by well doing you shall put to silence the ignorance of foolish men as free, not using your freedom for a cloak of wickedness, but as a bondservant of God. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Servants. I looked at myself as a servant there, you know, servant, you know, it's all you do, do it as unto the Lord, but I was still serving the people I worked for. I saw myself as a servant there. Servants, be in subjection to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the forward. For this is acceptable if for conscience towards God, a man endures griefs, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when you sin, you are buffeted for it, you shall take it patiently. But if when you do well and suffer for it, you shall take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. For hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who also, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he was suffered, he threatened not, but he committed himself to God, to him who judges righteously. And that's kind of how the Lord would just help me every time I was going through all that stuff. But I didn't do anything wrong. You know, I'm making this stuff up and this isn't fair and all that stuff and complaining in my heart. You know, it's like you're suffering for righteousness sake. You know, I'm pleased with your suffering is part of the death to the self by not defending yourself and not giving place to the enemy, resisting the devil because, you know, he wants you to get in your flesh. And by the grace of God, I was able not to do that. You know, in those circumstances at work. So I thank the Lord for that.
Amen. Thank you, Julie. Go ahead, Angelica.
Amen. A couple scriptures come to mind, but it's like, I guess I have like a way to imagine it, how you could see it in your imagination, how it happens, like the testing, like, for all of us, like the way I understand it, because the Bible says that, you know, and teaches that there's two men in the earth, and it's Christ and Antichrist. And what I understood, you know, when I got born again was that, you know, at any time Satan can use a vessel who does not have Christ or know Christ, because the flesh is capable of doing anything, you know, it's a vessel. We're created to be vessels. We're going to be filled by something. And so, you know, when you're born again, you know, what we don't understand initially is that, God is intending to make us as Jesus was. And, we don't understand this whole, like, you know, we have the supernatural grace, but we don't understand what God's trying to do. You know, we don't understand that, that in order to be love to people, we have to be rid of these things that would cause us to be reactionary. And so, like, I imagine it as like, you know, imagine a person standing before you who's opposing you in some way, but it's a demon spirit within the person. And, but God, it's like, walking through a haunted house, right? Of course, I'm not saying do that, but I'm saying like when we used to do that in the world, you walk through a haunted house and let's say you've gone through it four or five, so many times because you love going through it, but you already know where this guy is going to pop out and this, you know, terrible thing is going to pop out and this thing's going to pop out. And you go through it so many times and you're not afraid anymore and you don't get the reaction anymore. You don't respond anymore because the fear has been removed from you. The things that will cause you to respond in the flesh have been removed from you because you've gone through it so many times. And that's how it is in life. Like what the Lord does to us, like he brings these things before us for us to overcome. And there's areas where we have failed because the Bible says, you know, where Satan, you know, where Satan has nothing in me, But there's places in our life we haven't overcome, and those are places that we get drawn out in the flesh and the emotions and thoughts and feelings and reactions. But after being hardened and going through the, you know, through the haunted house so many times, it's not there anymore because the Lord has worked it out of you. And the only way to overcome is by submitting to the word of God and agreeing with it that, yes, this is who I am. And I'm not that person anymore that would respond that way, and believing God to defend you, in those circumstances. And the couple of the word came to me, you know, yay, and all, you know, 2 Timothy 3:12, yay, and all that would live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. So it's something we can expect. And also, Matthew 5:39, and I say unto you, resist not him that is evil, but whoever smiteth him on thy right cheek, turn to him to the other also. So it's Satan operating through vessels of dishonor in the spirit, because you may have a fleshly body in front of you, but it's always Satan working through them. And they're innocent in the way because not innocent, but I guess they're helpless because they're captive to Satan and they can't do anything more than allow Satan to operate through them. And so, you know, when we having that understanding, we can recognize what Satan is trying to get us to, you know, out in the flesh. But God, you know, God's word keeps us in that, and, you know, in Christ, and helps us to be able to respond in the way that Christ would respond in order to affect the world around us in that person. You know, whether it be for their good or for their evil, because the Bible says that we're, you know, those that bless us will be blessed, those that curse us will be cursed. And we don't know what God's trying to accomplish in every moment, you know, through this situation that he's brought in front of us. But we just, you know, we just submit to God and him who judges righteously, and he will give us that grace to, you know, to walk through it, whether we suffer or we don't, you know. And I think that's like, the ultimate is to not have that response in the flesh anymore, or the emotions or the thoughts that are contrary to what the Lord has given us the grace to have, you know. And of course, I think we all have places that we need to overcome. I definitely do. And would like to be able to respond better. I think, you know, something like offense or, you know, rejection or, you know, thoughts and emotions and feelings. These are all what the Lord showed me. Like, for example, like depression, like the enemy, that's listening to the enemy, the voice of this, it's a spirit. It's listening, you know, talking to you, your mind. But the Lord's like, that's murmuring and complaining. And I didn't ever like realize that, but it's like, we're so, you know, I have been so apt to just receive those types of, you know, thoughts, and just kind of get in that place so readily. But it's like, at the end of the day, whatever the enemy is feeding you in your mind, that's murmuring and complaining against God. And that's his purpose, is that we should murmur and complain instead of being a living sacrifice and allowing God to work whatever it is he's going to work in us. And of course, I've struggled like with agreeing with that at times, like, you know, because we're the Lord's, we belong to him. And I, you know, he's sovereign, and it's like the flesh wants to have that say in its own life, you know, and that independence, and say, no, Lord, I want to do it like this, or no, I don't want to go through this. And that's the battle we all have to kind of go through in this life to be able to be that new man. And so that's just what I want to share.
Okay, so what you're saying is, when Bubba comes up in front of me and starts excoriating against me, he's calling me all kinds of names and stuff, I'm supposed to turn the other cheek. Be like Jesus. So that's exactly what he wants us to do. It's just to die to self and allow that. I tell you what, I've learned a lot when I've, with all of these factious instances that's come over the years right here. I didn't know what faction was when I came here. And then now I can give you 15 definitions of it. But it's even when they leave, the faction tries to destroy you, your reputation and things like that. You just have to pray for them. Just pray for them. But yeah, that's what you have to do. Die to self. Yeah, Andrew. How Shall We Die is a good book, Eddie.
You just took what I was going to say.
How I'm Shall sorry. We Die?
Yeah. Sorry. And, you know, there's two verses that are 13:16, one in Matthew and one in Revelation. And if you overlay those two verses on each other, you can see something. I'd like to read the two verses, if that's okay. I guess it's okay.
Yeah, go ahead. Yes, go ahead.
Well, over there in Matthew 13, and this is, you know, the verses where he's explaining the parable of the sower, but he's explaining the verse at the end of the parable of the sower. It says there, "He that hath ears, let him hear." So, you know, others that says that in quite a few places. At the end of every church in the Book of Revelation, it says that. Matthew 13:15. For this, okay, now we want a perspective for our time. This is what Jesus saw in his time, and we can see this perspective in our day. Just because there's many divisions. For the peoples, and of course, all the divisions of Judaism, all the sects of Judaism got together to see what they would do about Jesus. And of course, we know what their answer was. Yeah. For the people's hearts are waxed gross. And their ears are dull of hearing. And of course, there's teaching that Jesus is giving here. And their eyes, they have closed. So the eyes are closed. You know, how can you watch for the end times or for anything if your eyes are closed? You know, really good verses there in Mark 13, the last two verses. And of course, it talks about the end times there. Their eyes they have closed, lest happens they should perceive with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart. And of course, an understanding is a glory of God's understanding. It's supposed to be for a child of light because it's one of the lights in your lamp, in your temple, with their heart. And should turn again, which is to repent, and I should heal them. So this is the ultimate. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. But he still had to explain this parable to them. So if we go to Revelation now, 13, and 15. I was just listening to something, and I was reminded about this from one of the. I was reading, I think, either one of these 13, 15s, and it brought me to this one here. And for it is given unto him to give breath to it. Even the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as should not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So here you would have, just want to want to say that Jesus spoke all those words, and they didn't hear what he was saying. Everybody had eyes and ears. And, of course, if this is speaking, this is what they had eyes and ears for. So you can overlay these two 13:15s and apply it, because we have to have the eyes that see and the ears that hear. We have to have the prophecy, not the letter of prophecy, but the spirit of prophecy. And we have to have the ears that hear, which is the teaching. And teaching is also a glory of God as a child of light. So when they hear something different, which is letter, then they tend to defend it. And that's something that the future holds. So what I'm saying here basically is there are eyes and ears that are singular. He speaks of the single eye in Matthew chapter, Sermon on the Mount somewhere, chapter 6. It can't be double-eyed. So there is an eye here that's singular. And you see the same way that Christ sees it. And of course, all the New Testament is the spirit of the word. People would argue with that because they say, well, you still have to discern this. You know, foxes have holes, birds have nests. But, you know, at that time, the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head because he still had to get crucified. So he needs to go and prepare a place for you to abide in that place for you. So when you're in that place, people say in the zone. They have so many things they say about this, the Christians, but it's this place where all your behaviors are going to be correct. And as a child of God, sometimes he totally takes over, even though you don't have any knowledge. But as you get more mature and you get the knowledge, it's sometimes even harder to do it right. Because, you know, he's protecting you when you're small. So now that you know things and you know all the fruits of God's Holy Spirit, or the fruit of the Spirit in Galatia chapter 5, are all behavioral. Even the fruits of the flesh. So, you know, you got the vision, and it goes up the line to wrath. And of course, we know that just recently we were told in one of the Bible studies, I think it was Sunday, of how God in Romans chapter 9, verse 21, is preparing vessels of honor and dishonor. And vessels for wrath. So we know that the complementary wrath is right next to faction. And we've actually seen these things happen when the faction came to UBN. They were delegated into the wrath. They got this wrath spirit on them, you know, and we don't want that, you know, and so there's a danger there, and it all starts with division that gets grosser to faction, and then it gets a third spirit added to it, you know, and of course, it just compiles, because all of these. Perhaps I should go to the fruits of the spirit instead of the fruits of the flesh. All of these things work off of each other. You know, it's like a transparency. You're looking through the love, through the joy, through the peace, and they all work off of each other, and they're all behavioral. And you know, well, we need 100-fold fruit, Andrew. Well, so what do we do? There's only 9 fruits here of this spirit. So you need 11.11111. No, don't work that way either, because you need 100 in each one of these. You need 30 in each one of these, because the faith worketh love. Come on, you're going to need 30 faith and 30 love, but the fruit is there not only for correction in against the letter to the spirit, but also the behavior. So if you're off on something, God's going to say you're off on this too. If you're going to interpret to the letter, you're under the law somewhere. And he might get you angry too. So that's tough, you know. Anyways, you know when someone has a different spirit on them, because they do weird things. You know, they flip out, they get angry, and you don't want them to behave like that. But especially like if you have family things that are going wrong, and you're praying against these things, and you want to be able to instruct them. Of course, just recent instructions where we have who's the boss of the good and the evil, and they can't look past the devil to see God. Hey, why is God doing this to me? Where have I failed? But no, God just showed you, if you did fail at something, that you are a failure. And now you're going to say, well, the devil did it, you know. But, you know, you got to be able to look past that to see the sovereign hand of God, so that he could put you on the right side where he wants you, you know. You want to, I like to use the key example, you know, the sheep key and the goat key. Christians don't have a goat key because you're not supposed to get anyone going. You have a sheep key, and you start a sheep going, and you can't stop him. He'll just be a sheep all the time. But if suddenly someone pulls the sheep key out of you and puts a goat key in you, then that's not supposed to happen. So it's like the black dog, white dog scenario. And they sick the dog on you, and he bites you. So if he bites you in your belly, and he's the black dog, don't turn into what he wants you to be. But if the white dog bites you, then I guess that's good. But we want our flesh to be led by the Lord, even as the verse says, you know. We were crucified with him. And it is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I live in this flesh, in this body, I live by faith. The faith. I like to say the faith because there's only one faith. And that faith is in the new behavior. The faith, which is in the Son of God, who loved me and gave his life for me. So there it is. The faith is the life in you, the life of Christ in you, and all the behaviors of the fruits of the Spirit. Because it's only the fruit that goes. So, we desire this fruit all the time. We want it living and active in us. Because it's the word of God is living and active. Sometimes people have a problem. Oh, that word manifestation, it's so high, it's so difficult even to pronounce. What is he talking about? I'm not a scientist here. Manifestation, you know. So it's living. It's the word of God and active. Where is the word of God supposed to be active? You know? Don't tell me. Some of you, I didn't have the song, Let This Little Light of Me In Me Shine. You know, it was a Pepsi Cola commercial for me. So let this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. So shine with walking in the light as he is in the light. We'll have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus shall cleanse us from all our sins. There's the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. We know that this cleansing of the blood of Jesus is the overcomer. You're walking in this life that's in the blood, and it's this light. I mean, we have the unveiled face. Moses didn't. We've got the shine. You guys have shiny faces. And we got to shine for the Lord, and we got to walk in the light. And the light and the life is together. Why? Because in him was life, and this life is the light of men. John chapter, it's the same apostle. If you walk in the light as he is in the light, you know. So, darkness wants to turn off your light. And these are all, again, you know, the quotations of 2 Corinthians chapter 6. There's the light and the darkness. What do you want to have communion with? Don't. There is a certain verse in the 23rd chapter of Matthew where it describes Zechariah, the son of Zechariah. And what did they do to him in the temple? Between the sanctuary and the altar. What did they invite into this temple? And what may be invited into the real temple? If we're supposed to look at these 3.5 years of the Gospels, the sanctuary is the holy place. The altar is there. Is it a physical altar? Or is it an altar where you get everything you ask and receive? By grace, have you been saved? And I think they killed him, eh? Right in between those two places. What kind of defilement of that temple would that be for their time? And what would it mean today? Especially since they're teaching us, or someone's trying to teach a physical temple. So, anyways, you know, I reviewed the Pharisees in the 23rd chapter. You know, you want to learn how to be a Pharisee? It's not Pharisee. So, you know, you can review those things and you can see a lot in it. You know, maybe these guys didn't read it for a while, but it's likened to something for today. So, you know, there is a temple that's supposed to be pure and holy and the Holy of Holies too. So let that Holy of Holies shine into your holy place and let the shining bring the blood of Jesus too, so that you can have fruit in your soul. Praise and glory to God. And love him with it. That said, I'm still wanting more of that love because it never fails. And praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Who that just showed up? Hey, Geneva. And Matthias. All right. Yeah, I like, just like Angelica put in there in the chat, Galatians 5:17, for the flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Amen. That's dying to the flesh. We want the spirit man to be evident in us, not the flesh. Glory to God. Hey, that's a sweetie. Yeah, Pat, go ahead.
I was thinking when Andrew was talking there, he was talking about the fruit. You know, I was thinking about, you know, we obviously start with a mixed bag. We have the fruit of faith, and the mixed bag is that we, just like Angelica just read, this treasure is in an earthen vessel, and the fruit that's in that comes from that earthen vessel is bad fruit. And so I get, you know, and then so the Lord takes us, you know, after we're born again, takes us through, a process where he starts to reveal some of that bad fruit that's in there that we don't see. And obviously you can't deal with anything unless you can see it, unless you understand, you know, you perceive what's there. And, unfortunately, you know, with, I'm going to say people that ignore or circumvent that process somehow, and never really begin to see what's in them, that the package that they came with, you know, and they, if they do not repent and start to recognize to see these things and then take them to the Lord for an explanation, you know, through confession, you know, and that's, if that process is circumvented, whether it be through fear or ignorance or being taught, you know, being taught that it is not necessary or whatever it would be, these things remain in this fruit or this environment for that fruit to come out remains within us. And of course, the devil has been around for, you know, thousands of years. So he knows exactly, you know, there's a term that people use nowadays, and they call it triggering. In other words, somebody says something and it triggers a response in a person or whatever. And so, you know, in our day and age now, the person that has the response is of course the victim, and the person that said the thing is the, or he's the one that pulled the trigger, so to speak. He's the guilty one. But anyway, the devil knows how to trigger us. You know, he knows all these buttons to push, you know, and so if he wants a certain reaction out of you, all he has to do is set the necessary circumstances that's going to trigger you. And, you know, just like, you know, cause and effect, he pushes the button and you respond a certain way. And I've seen that even with, you know, my previous testimony of this week, There's certain things that this particular person is believing, and so if I do something that contradicts or goes against what he is believing, whether it's right or wrong, it triggers him. So all the devil has to do is, is make him aware of something that I do that triggers that particular aspect. So, and of course, what I'm starting to learn this, lately with the direction that the Lord is taking us, is that the Lord will allow these triggers to trigger people and to react and respond against us. And so it's probably, because of things that the Lord wants to adjust, correct, or whatever within us as well. But, as I said before, he's, redirecting how he wants me to respond through this process instead of this constant, say, looking inside to find out, what is happening in here, have I sinned and this and that. But he's wanting me now to start to, in the spirit, push back at these things and find his ways of pushing back. I will say, in the early days, these things would happen, my initial response was, even when I'd ask the Lord, what is the cause of this? Why is this person acting a certain way? Well, and the Lord would give me that information and I would foolishly, feel, I laugh now because it's so funny. I would foolishly think that the Lord gave me that information so I could go back to that individual and explain to them why they screwed up, So, I don't recommend that response. It didn't work out really well for me. But the thing is, I'm getting off the subject, but it's these triggers that God wants us, I believe, to walk with him through this discipleship process and identify this fruit of the old man and neutralize the environment that it dwells in and to remove that so that there is no more trigger. The devil can't trigger us through, putting certain circumstances together to get a response out of us, because that response can't come. That area where that response, came from is now dead. And it's been neutralized by the word of God, the truth, and it has been disabled, so to speak. So I don't even know where I was going with this or whatever, but I looked at the fruit when, Andrew was talking here, and I literally put a search in, and I just wanted to read the scriptures that came up. Colossians 1:6, which has come unto you, even as it is also in the world, bearing fruit and increasing, as it doth in you also since the day ye heard and knew the grace of God in truth. Colossians 1:10, to walk worthily of the Lord, unto all pleasing, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. That's, you know, that discipleship, that you are consuming that word of God. Hebrews 12:11, all chastening seemeth for the present to be not joyous, but grievous. Yet afterward it yields peaceable fruit unto them that have been exercised thereby, even the fruit of righteousness. That aspect of the truth coming in and going through this process of being triggered by, you know, the devil, and working through that process and replacing the lies with truth, and then having to exercise it, test it out and try it and whatever until that fruit expresses in righteousness. Hebrews 13:15, through him then, excuse me, let us offer up a sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of the lips, which makes confession to his name. James 3:18, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace for them that make peace. 5:7, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient over it until it received the early and latter rain. So I just thought those scriptures just kind of almost took us through the discipleship process there, or whatever. But anyway, by the way, is my voice overmodulating still?
Yeah, a little bit, but not near as bad as it was.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Now, let's nail this down. What is the difference between resist not him that is evil and resist the devil? Real quick, like. It seems like we kind of merged both of them together here during this time, but what is the difference between resist not him that is evil and resist the devil? Go ahead, Joe.
What I understand now for all people is our Pat's example and Andrew's example, I would think it, and what you said is death to self, you die to self, that is resist, not that is evil, that's against your flesh. That's I understand. That's perfect. But they said resist the devil, in other words, you come against him. But I just read today again from David. He says, I'll be quick. Though God uses evil spirits to divide, he also used us to forbid them when appropriate. God wants us to resist the devil, to not permit his lies or his accusation of the brethren. God expects us to be vigilant and to test the spirits at all times. That's what I would think.
Praise God. You answered your own question. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, awesome. That's what the Lord showed me today. Yeah. Thank you very much, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I think everybody helped out here. It was good. Yep. And thank you, Father. Glory be to God. All right. Well, we're about out of time here. Has anybody got any last comments? We're not going 30 minutes over tonight now. I understand that. Go ahead, Teresa.
Let's see. Well, in Matthew, it also says, 18:18, verily I say to you, whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And so, you know, and then in Ephesians 6, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So that means we're, you know, there's some wrestling there. But against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take to you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to not only withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, but stand having your loins girded about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Well, that's all resisting the devil. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So there's a pushing against. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, which we yield accurately and effectively, praying always with all against the devil. You know, not only in ourselves, but in, you know, other people too. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And then in Hebrews, let's see, where Paul says that he puts off the weight that so easily, let me find that. Hebrews. Sorry about that. I had it marked, but I lost it. Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight that's in us ourselves, resisting the devil and ourselves, and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sit down at the right hand of God. So that's resisting the devil, in my view.
Yeah, amen. Well, thank you, Teresa, for all those good scriptures there. Amen. Lord, we thank you for a wonderful night tonight. We thank you, Father, that I hope this helps a lot of people out there that are listening. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, for that you are drawing us closer to you. And we're going to be ready for this time ahead when we're going to need this boldness in you to bring about this revival. We thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord. It's going to be a wonderful time in the days ahead. Thank you, Lord, that some of these people here probably be here with us. And we praise you and glorify you, Father, in Jesus' name. Well, all right. Good night, saints. See you later, alligator at the wild crocodile.